If I asked you how many subscriptions you have, would you be able to list all of them and how much you're paying? If you would have asked me this question before I started using Rocket Money, I would have said yes. But let me tell you, I would have been so wrong. I can't believe how many I had and all the money I was wasting. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/wondery. rocketmoney.com/wondery.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Officials in Cambridge, Massachusetts recently approved plans for a cannabis cookie store in Harvard Square. So if you go to Harvard and you love weed, I bet your dad also went to Harvard?
From 30 Rockefeller Plaza in New York City, please enjoy this podcast edition of Late Night with Seth Meyers. On today's show, Seth talks with actress and comedian Eddie Izzard. But first, a closer look.
The former top prosecutor for the Capitol riots said on Sunday that the evidence in the attack could support sedition charges as federal investigators continue to examine former President Donald Trump's role in fomenting the insurrection. For more on this, it's time for a closer look. When you're a former occupant of the Oval Office, there are a few different directions you could go with your post-presidency. There's the Jimmy Carter route of charitable work, the Bush route of painting portraits of dogs like a weatherman filling in at the last minute for Bob Ross. Then there's the Obama route of making movies for Netflix, kite surfing with Richard Branson, dressing like an Italian fashion designer, and making up excuses to hang out with celebrities. Here's an idea for a podcast. Me and Bruce Springsteen just kind of hanging out. Mr. President, that sounds great. What would it be about? It's called Renegades. I came up with the name myself. It's great. What's it about? Sometimes little Steven will be there, but he has to share a mic with Bruce. And former President Donald Trump, as is his wont, chose and charted his own course. He's decided to spend his time creepily shuffling around his Palm Beach resort like the ghost of a retired dentist who drowned in a water hazard on the 18th hole. I was looking for my ball, and I forgot to come up for air. It was a Titleist. They're not cheap. Every weekend, a new photo emerges of Trump in the same getup, red hat, white polo, slacks that seem to be rising faster than the sea level. He spent all that time hanging out with Pillow Man when he really should have befriended the Untuck It guy. See how much more comfortable he looks? But no, Trump would rather wander around his own resort like a lost grandpa who's supposed to be watching the kids at the mall. We do have reports of a couple of kids playing keep away with a glow-in-the-dark dildo at Spencer Gifts. Does that sound like your grandkids? That does sound like them, yes. His business and finances are apparently in even worse shape. His net worth fell by $700 million during his presidency. The Manhattan DA's investigation of his business and tax returns is intensifying. And his Mar-a-Lago resort just partially closed so they could use it as a pop-up vaccination center. Wait, no, I read that wrong. It closed due to a COVID outbreak. My God, COVID follows this guy like a rain cloud following Daffy Duck. His rallies, the White House, now Mar-a-Lago. He's like a walking COVID test. If you're ever, you know, in physical proximity to Donald Trump, you should just, you know, quarantine for like 2 weeks just to be safe. It really does perfectly capture the state of the modern GOP, that their standard bearer, the guy they tried to overthrow democracy for, is now a financially broken ghost criminal. At this point, I have to assume he's also being investigated by Mulder and Scully. Mulder, look at this COVID cluster. What could be causing this? Have you ever heard of the coughing swamp ghost of Palm Beach? 5 or 6 years ago, we used to make jokes about his skin tone, and now he doesn't even have one. He's the color of spackle. Guess it makes sense he's a landlord because he looks like the layer of paint you'd find after peeling back the wallpaper in a Manhattan apartment. And on top of everything else, even his iconic plane, the private jet he used to fly everywhere during his first campaign, has now apparently fallen into such disrepair that it's not even flyable anymore.
The glory days of the gold-plated jet that Donald Trump once used as his calling card seem far away. It is now grounded and in disrepair.
It was the ultimate status symbol, Donald Trump's Boeing 757, a regular presence on the 2016 campaign. At his marquee events, there was his plane. Today, however, the massive jet sits abandoned at an upstate New York airport. One engine mostly missing, one wrapped, idle, in apparent disrepair. According to records, it hasn't been flown in months.
It's been sitting on the ramp for at least a year or two, and the left engine's been taken off, probably for service.
The crown jewel of Trump's fleet, now future unknown.
Wow, who broke this story? The Daily Metaphor? He's finally coming face to face with the consequences of his actions. Trump's like a character from an ancient Greek myth who doesn't let Hades finish describing the deal. You will be blessed with all the riches in the world, but in return, deal. Don't you want to hear the rest of the trade? I'm good. Just get me on that Pegasus. It's just technically, I have to explain the terms of the deal. That's what my lawyer's for. Where is he, by the way? I told him to meet me at the River Styx. River Styx? I went to a Styx concert. Oh, Rudy. And not only are Trump's finances, his resort, his business, and his plane all in shambles, but he's now also reportedly under multiple investigations, including an investigation of the riot at the Capitol on January 6th. A federal prosecutor who previously led the investigation of the riot told 60 Minutes on Sunday there's likely enough evidence to meet sedition charges.
I personally believe the evidence is trending towards that and probably meets those elements.
Do you anticipate sedition charges against some of these suspects?
I believe the facts do support those charges. And I think that as we go forward, more facts will support that.
I have to say, I'm not sure why we have to have federal prosecutors on 60 Minutes telling us something we already know. Either charge them with sedition or don't. When did criminal investigators start doing press junkets like movie tours? Obviously, there were a lot of pranks on set. It was a fun investigation. I mean, I'm no lawyer, and I don't think sedition charges should be leveled lightly or often, but if a violent attack on the Capitol to impede the lawful counting of electoral votes isn't sedition, then what is? They stormed the House and Senate, injured 140 police officers. I'm not saying they were likely to succeed in overthrowing the U.S. government, but that doesn't mean it's not sedition. You're still guilty of attempted robbery, even if you get caught breaking into a museum in the middle of the night because you forgot to silence your ringtone. I'm in. I'm going to steal the diamond and then quietly rappel down the South Wall. Oh, no, it's my mom. Oh, she loves K-Fed. Hey, remember when Sal earlier today said, should we switch it to my dad so I can say it's my papa's Al? And we were all like, no, Sal. That will tarnish your reputation. We did him a huge solid. And now it's up to Sal. Am I going to leave that in or am I going to cut around it? Looks like someone else's integrity's on trial. There's already extensive evidence in the public record of detailed planning by militia members in advance of the January 6th riot and proof that they were coordinating their movements as it was happening. And not only are prosecutors apparently considering sedition charges for the rioters, they're also examining the role Trump himself played in fomenting those seditious acts.
Has the role of former President Trump been part of your investigation?
It's unequivocal that Trump was the magnet that brought the people to D.C. on the 6th. Now the question is he criminally culpable for everything that happened during the siege, during the breach? What I can tell you is this, based upon, again, what we see in the public record and what we see in public statements in court, we have plenty of people, we have soccer moms from Ohio that were arrested saying, well, I did this because my president said I had to take back our house. That moves the needle towards that direction. Maybe the president is culpable for those actions.
In short, you have investigators looking into the president's role.
We have people looking at everything, correct. Everything's being looked at.
Wow, he's being investigated for fomenting a violent sedition. He doesn't even have his jet to flee the country. If he gets indicted, he's going to have to book a commercial flight under a false name and dye his hair. So what do you do? Oh, insurance. That's a great business. I was the president of my condo association. That was close. So they were militia members who planned and coordinated their attacks. And they were there at Trump's explicit direction. Remember, he even advertised the date ahead of time and said, quote, be there, we'll be wild. He sowed a violent insurrection like an old guy hanging outside a liquor store inviting teenagers to a house party. Be there, it's gonna be wild. We're gonna hotbox my 86 Camaro. Bring pizza! The previous president fomented a violent insurrection to overthrow democracy, and the vast majority of his party either went along with him or stood by silently and let it happen. There needs to be consequences for that, especially since the GOP is still trying to rig our democracy in their favor through other means, whether it's their ferocious assault on voting rights or their attempts to challenge anyone who wouldn't go along with their attempt to steal the election. Trump left our democracy in the same state he left his plane.
Grounded and in disrepair.
This has been A Closer Look.
Have you ever covered a carpet stain with a rug? Ignored a leaky faucet? Pretended your half-painted living room is supposed to look like that? Well, you're not alone. We've all got unfinished home projects. But there's an easier way. When you download Thumbtack, it's easier to care for your home from top to bottom. Pull out your phone and in just a few steps, you can search, chat, and book highly rated pros right in your neighborhood. Plus, you'll know what to tackle next, because Thumbtack is the app that shows you what to do, who to hire, and when. So say goodbye to all those unfinished home projects and say hello to caring for your home the easier way. Download Thumbtack and start a project today.
Our guest is an Emmy Award-winning stand-up comedian and actress you know from the TV series Hannibal and films such as Ocean's 13 and Victoria and Abdul. Her new movie, 6 Minutes to Midnight, comes to theaters in demand on March 26th. Please welcome back to the show, Eddie Izzard. How are you?
I'm very good. How are you doing?
I'm good. It's been a very long time since you've been here. 7 years, I believe. And I'm so happy to have you back.
I wanted to stay away for 7 years as absence makes the heart grow fonder, something like that. But it seems like yesterday. Didn't we have a chat at Saturday Night Live? Didn't we talk together?
We have, yes, absolutely.
What? One of the times I turned up there, but I've been watching your Closer Look. I get it on, because I don't know if it comes, your show totally comes over here to Britain, because, you know, sometimes it's come over. But I've been watching you for ages, and then he said, hey, come and do that. I think, great, excellent, fun to talk to you.
It's even nicer when people who watch the show agree to come on, because most of our guests aren't aware of what we're doing here.
No, I see you go in, and you're fighting the fight, which is great, you know, because I've got this hat, which is Make Humanity Great Again. And that's what I do on my marathons with and raise money. I don't know where I got Make Humanity Great Again from. It just came to me one night. And I go, And I think there's another slogan like that out there somewhere.
Yes. But it's a different, I think you got there first. I think you got there first. Now, you mentioned marathons, and this isn't just I ran a marathon, ha, ha, ha. You have just finished, and we've talked about this in the past, you've just finished 32 marathons in 31 days. Which you raised 200,000 pounds, which is amazing. But just talk us through how you even go about that.
I've got to say it's even more. We were a third of a million we got to, 333, and George Clooney was counting it down. Basically, I was doing it on a treadmill, which, you know, it's COVID lockdown. So, you know, every day I was doing a marathon and doing a stand-up gig at the end, which is kind of crazy. But, you know, you're trying to raise money, shooting out the box. I've done a few of these before, but I was talking to people for 6 hours. I mean, you know, you do your show, you talk to people. I was doing 6 hours of this every day, chatting to people and running on a thing, which actually was good for me because it was so mindlessly boring running on a treadmill. So I do this, I raise money, I want to be a member of parliament. But meanwhile, I'm doing my film 6 Minutes to Midnight, in which I do a lot of running. But Make Humanity Great Again is my slogan, and it includes all Americans in it. So people say, that's not for good for America. No, Americans are in humanity. Everyone's included, 7.8 billion. And George Clooney was counting down the numbers as we did the last double marathon on the last day. So it was a beautiful thing to do, kind of crazy.
So you did a double marathon on the last day. And I will say, it all sounds impossible, but as you mentioned, it strikes me as so much harder on a treadmill than it would be in the great outdoors.
For the brain, it's just mind-bogglingly. I thought we would talk to two or three people a day. As soon as I got going on this, I said, just line the people up. I need to talk about anything, cats and dogs and trees and helicopters, to get my mind off this endless pounding and not going anywhere. And it was good in the end. And when I talked to some wonderful people, and, you know, people you're raising money for charities all around the world, So yeah, it was a beautiful thing to do. I'm just kind of bonkers and out there, so I do this stuff.
You share with us, this was in the Guardian, which is, it is, you really have taken away the marathon bragging rights. Basically, we have a character here saying, will you sponsor me for my marathon? But you only ran the one, and then damn you, Eddie Izzard, you've spoiled it for everyone. And I think most marathon runners would probably say that you have effectively spoiled it.
I have a little bit, but other people have done it as well. My dad cut that out of the Guardian newspaper in Britain, and he put it next to my bed when I came home to visit him. So that's kind of nice. I thought my dad wasn't really into my career, but he seemed to collect everything for my career. But so marathon running is something I can do. Because if you are a trans person, as you know, you said actress there, like, oh, or whatever, but I'm gender fluid, and this is a male role that I've played. I've been out for 36 years, but people suddenly sort of noticed it, which is a bit weird. Like, oh, you've suddenly, oh, what? You didn't give us any notice. 36 years notice, guys. So everyone, it's great. Thank you so much. It's a great honor to be promoted. But I'm pretty fluid. I see it boy mode and girl mode like a superhero thing. That's how I see transgender. And so I can be either one or the other. And this film, 6 Minutes to Midnight, is set in the hometown where my dad grew up and I grew up. And in this girls' school, Judi Dench plays the woman running this girls' school, which is full of the girls from the daughters of the Nazi high command and goddaughters. Himmler's goddaughter was actually at this school in a seaside town in England, learning English, these German girls learning English, to hang out with the other right-wing people in the British aristocracy. Edward VIII was very into Hitler, and you'll probably know this kind of history. So I didn't even know this was the truth, but the school badge had a British flag and a Nazi flag on it. And I thought, wow, there's a film in that. So the basis of the story is true. Real girls at this school doing this stuff, and then we've written a thriller on top of it. Judi Dench, myself, and Jim Broadbent.
Obviously, you are a very accomplished writer, but you had never written a screenplay before. Did you find it daunting? Did you enjoy that process?
Yeah, you were talking to Amy Poehler. She said, don't do writing, you know, this thing, because you're obviously a wildly experienced writer. But, you know, I come from where you've lived a lot of your life, that shorter sketch thing. I came from sketch. Then I went to stand-up. I had to learn a whole new different thing, and I couldn't do stand-up. But I broke into Pinewood Studios when I was 15. And Steven Spielberg, I think, broke into Universal when he was about 17, 18. You know, so I was trying to do the similar thing. He got his career going, bam, and mine took 30, 40 years. You know, the fine wine approach to careers. Because I knew I didn't know how to do story, structure, character. I didn't have the sense of it. So I wrote with two other writers. And this has obviously got a powerful thing, because like the message was from the 1930s. And then you had this thing, particularly in America, you've got Brexit, you've got Trump, the same kind of thing. You've got the alternative for Deutschland and Germany again, and Marine Le Pen, all this right-wing thinking around the world, which is like going back to the 1930s, as we are trying to drag the world to the 2030s and say, let's move forward. And some people say, no, let's go back. Let's have another go at the 1930s. How did it turn out last time? And our film has hopefully got a message in there that is, you know, if you do not learn from history, you're doomed to repeat it. And now more than ever, it's just resonating around. And our film sits there right in the eve of World War II, these girls that fight for hearts and minds.
Well, congratulations on the film. Congratulations again. 32 marathons, 31 days, a third of a million pounds. And it is just a delight to see you as always. Please come back soon. 6 Minutes to Midnight is in theaters and on demand this Friday.
Late Night with Seth Meyers airs weeknights on NBC at 12:35, 11:35 Central. Original music on the Late Night podcast is by the HE Band. Don't forget to follow the handle Late Night Seth on social media and tell your friends to subscribe to the Late Night podcast wherever they get their podcasts.
Murder on My Mind, a new podcast available exclusively on Wondery Plus, explores the circumstances leading up to the murder of two young men and the mistrials of the man accused of killing them. Up-and-coming rapper YNW Melly gained notoriety in the hip-hop world for his shocking lyrics and criminal exploits. When two of his best friends were gunned down in a drive-by shooting, investigators suspected the young rapper staged the scene. But after not one, but two trials that ended in hung juries and new evidence that may place YNW Melly at the scene of the crime, his trial has been paused indefinitely. With countless twists and turns, Law and Crime covers all angles of the case and begs the question, Is this young artist the victim of a witch hunt or a silver-tongued devil who's evil to the core? Listen to Murder on My Mind exclusively and ad-free on Wondery Plus. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.